Welcome to NFP for Life with Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger.
You need to be able to educate yourself to understand what the Catholic Church teaches.
We need to understand our gifts and our abilities, and it's really about fertility awareness and responsible parenthood.
Dr. Ruppersberger is a board-certified OBGYN with an NFP-only practice in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. He and his wife, Betty, are both certified natural family planning instructors for the Family Life Office of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia.
God so wanted us to know the meaning and purpose of existence that he built it right into us.
It's really not about us. It's about what we're supposed to be doing for the other person.
If we promote it and promote it effectively, we will change the way people think about natural family planning.
A chaste lifestyle means joy and freedom.
We still can plan, but we're planning with God.
I felt like I got more information that confirmed that what we were doing was in line with the truth of God.
It's a new journey in our faith.
And now, here are your hosts, Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters in Christ, and welcome to our program, NFP for Life. I'm Dr. Les Ruppersberger.
And I'm Betty Ruppersberger.
And we're thrilled to be back with you this afternoon, and we hope that you're listening. And just keep in mind that we are a live call-in radio program, and we'll give you the call numbers in just a moment. But we'd like to begin our program with a prayer, as we always do. So, Betty, if you will be so kind as to lead us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you, God, for the wonderful gift of fertility. Bless us with knowledge and understanding of this gift as we live from day to day with a desire to please you. Be with us in the special times when we rejoice in our love and the sacrament of marriage. Help us to understand your plan for us and show us how to be responsible parents. In you we will put our trust. We ask this through Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So we offered that prayer this afternoon because we're going to do our program and revert back a little bit to the very, 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 very beginning and do some basics on natural family planning. But before we go there, those of you who may have listened to us the last 3 months, that would be August, September, and October, you knew that we were doing programs and background and information that led up to conscience formation on our most recent national election. And so now this is our first program after the election, and we cannot get into our normal topic with at least mentioning something about that election. And so what I would like to offer is that I am very sorry that the outcome against life came as it did, with the majority of Christians, as well as the majority of Catholics, as well as the majority of Latinos in the United States who voted pro-choice and for the pro-choice candidate and against life. And there are now some information coming forth that that particular administration will be passing the Freedom of Choice Act as soon as that administration takes over in the White House. And so I'd like to comment a little bit about that in the beginning of this program. But first I'll have Betty give you our call numbers so that if any of you are interested in either calling us with your opinion, calling us with your lament, any comments, any insights, any thoughts, any prayers that you may have, please feel free. We'll be on for the next 56 minutes, and we'll be more than happy to entertain your kind and gentle remarks over these Catholic radio airwaves.
And I'd like to welcome all of you out there, especially our new location. So now we have a location in Doylestown and one in Coatesville. And if you have any questions or comments, please give us a call at 215-345-1570. Again, 215-345-1570. We would love to hear from you, and we'd love to know that you're out there listening. And we wait for your calls, 215-345-1570.
Now, this Freedom of Choice Act is an interesting act that will significantly, basically, take us back 35 years of whatever minor successes that we've had in the pro-life movement over that period of time. And essentially what it stipulates is that it will mandate that every healthcare practitioner, every healthcare provider, and every healthcare institution provide information, access, and accountability on abortion on demand at any time throughout the entire pregnancy, from the beginning of life at fertilization to a natural delivery full term at 9 months. And so basically what it means for me as a Catholic physician is that even though that I don't do abortions and even though that I don't refer for abortions, if a patient ever came into my office and requested an abortion, it would mandate that I would have to provide information and a referral for her to a physician that did abortions. So I couldn't just turn around and say, I don't do abortions. I would like to try to recommend that you do not terminate the life of your child and kill your baby in the womb or use whatever language that may be appropriate at the time. And if I did not provide a referral and if I did not provide that information, I would essentially be violating a federal law and committing a felony and could lose my license and possibly go to jail. The same is true for nurses. The same is true for pharmacists. The same is true for healthcare practitioners and physician extenders. So it would basically eliminate any freedom of choice that you would have as an individual to practice medicine according to your conscience. And not only would it take away my rights, but it has the potential, as has been discussed in some early discussions since the national election in reference to this particular act, that it may even close down Catholic hospitals, which represent and provide more than 65% of all the health care in the United States, because Catholic hospitals, as a mandate, could not violate their ethical and religious directives that direct the Catholic hospital to provide or refer for any abortion services. And so similar to the priest in North Carolina who told his congregation that they need to consider the state of their souls if they voted for the pro-choice candidate because of material cooperation with evil, a Catholic hospital that referred for either abortion or sterilization or the morning after pill would essentially be materially cooperating with evil and participating in the act. So what I would ask everyone who's listening is to go online at Fight FOCA, the Freedom of Choice Act, that's FIGHTFOCA.com, and sign a petition where there are now more than 200,000 signatures. Call your senators, call your representatives, tell them that you do not want this bill passed, that you do not want the next administration to sign this bill into law if it's passed by Congress, and protect the conscience clause rights and the practice of medicine and health care where people in good conscience who do not want to murder children in the womb will not be contributing to or supporting these particular types of acts.
Amen.
Do you have anything to add to that?
No. I just implore all of you to stand up and fight over this because we can't wait until this bill comes to the table. Our next president has not been installed yet, and we have to start building our case before January.
Yeah, the momentum has to start because there are some other issues. One of the statements that's already been made by the next administration is that they will exercise executive privilege upon assuming the office and immediately reverse the current president's policy to provide funding internationally for abortion and contraception and immediately reverse the ban on federal funding for embryonic stem cell research, which are two other non-negotiables that we discussed in the formation of conscience. And all of you who may think that these are all secondary issues are mistaken. There are important issues, social issues, social justice issues, immigration issues, quality of life issues, family issues, state of marriage issues, a lot of other issues that we talked about over the last 3 months. But now all of those issues are kind of behind us. The election's over, the rhetoric's over, and now we have a lame duck administration, and we're waiting 2 months before the new administration takes over. And when that happens, if what has been stated actually occurs, we will be basically losing everything that we have fought for in the pro-life movement for the last 35 years. So the first thing that I would ask all of you to do is to pray every day. If you don't agree, if you're not a person who signs petitions, if you're not a person who goes online, if you don't feel like looking up fightfoca.com or going to the Priest for Life website or going to any one of the other Catholic websites, you will hear our bishops, you will hear our priests come out and make more direct statements than you've ever heard before, and there needs to be a groundswell that leads up to, and it's no small coincidence, that the Right to Life March this year is going to occur 2 days after the inauguration, which occurs on January 20th. The Right to Life March will be on January 22nd, and I would encourage you that if you've never been on one before, to contact your parish or one of the local parishes near your parish to get a seat on the bus, to go down to Washington, D.C., and join the 500,000 people that you never hear the number on the news every year on the major media, mainstream media, that are going down, have been protesting in front of the Supreme Court and in front of our Congress, and to our current president, who never comes personally but always calls in online on the phone. And it would be nice that if they supported the pro-life movement, that it would actually personally show up to 500,000 people that have been protesting Roe v. Wade and the law that legalizes murdering our children in the womb in the United States. So please, if you have any comments about any of these topics, feel free to give us a call. If you're too shy about it, or if you feel that you made an error in judgment in voting, you can reverse some of the influence by signing these petitions, by verbalizing your choices, by getting involved with your Respect Life committees at your parishes, your pro-life committees. But if you don't do any of that, at least say one Hail Mary every day to Our Lady of Guadalupe, the patroness of the Americas, that will support life and protect our children and protect our babies. And speaking of Our Lady of Guadalupe, don't you have something that you want to tell us that's coming up soon?
Yeah, St. Ignatius. We're going to have a movie night on December the 12th, right? The Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And it's going to be the movie Guadalupe. And it's Spanish with English subtitles. And all are welcome to come. So
7:30. Free popcorn, free refreshments.
Yeah.
Bring the family, rated PG. We'll have a little discussion. We have some handouts. And it's the feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And what better way to get together with a bunch of people from your church, from your parish community, or from adjacent parish communities with your brothers and sisters in Christ, and come and not only honor Our Lady on her feast day, but pray to her and ask for her intercession to her divine Son to help us in this time of need as we try to protect the dignity and the sanctity of all human life, the dignity and sanctity of the definition of marriage, the definition of family, and the basic building block of our society, because I'm afraid that we're going to have a very difficult 4 years coming up in front of us politically, and that God may not look so favorably upon our country if we continue to go in the direction that we're going.
But also, God has a plan, and not to be so concerned of the things of this world. We have to be accepting of what is, and we have to let our voices be heard. And again, we're coming to you from 1570 AM and 1420 AM. Please give us a call on 215-345-1570. We'd love to hear from you.
And now to our topic at hand. We said that we were getting back to the basics of natural family planning. So we'd like to just kind of give you an overview and a flavor, especially our new listeners at WCOJ in Coatesville, because you may not have heard us before. And as I said in the beginning of the program, this is NFP for Life. And Betty and I are both board certified archdiocesan instructors for natural family planning for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. We speak at many marriage prep programs throughout the year, and we teach natural family planning classes at many different locations throughout the year. And we have been blessed with being given the opportunity for the last 9 years of being here on Holy Spirit Radio and bringing you the good news of natural family planning, one of the best-kept secrets of the Catholic Church. So Betty will start out by letting you know what the definition of natural family planning is, and we'll go from there.
It's amazing that a lot of people may hear the term natural family planning, but they're not really sure what it is. So I just want to let you know that natural family planning is a term that is it's a method of knowing your fertility. It's not rhythm. Natural family planning is a scientific method to know your personal fertility and what your personal body is and your signs are month to month. It's a way to help enrich a family, enrich a marriage, and also give yourself the gift and the knowledge of your fertility. You know, it's amazing when I go, when we speak at pre-Cana's, I always ask this question: how many people in the room know their fertility? Most people don't. They have no idea. They assume that they have fertility, but they really don't know their fertility. And this is an opportunity to understand your bodily signs and understand whether you're fertile or not. And so natural family planning, it's a method of family planning to, it allows you to achieve a pregnancy or postpone a pregnancy. So it's twofold. You don't need to take pills and medications or devices or anything of that sort. You have total control over your body. You know what your body is saying to you and doing for you month to month, and you have the ability to understand that if you want to achieve a pregnancy or postpone, you can learn that method.
Is natural family planning pretty new, or what's the history behind natural family planning?
Natural family planning has a long history. You know, throughout the history of the world, couples were always trying to, in some way or another, engage in you know, having children. Because, you know, of course, as my mother always said, sex makes babies. And also trying to postpone pregnancies for certain reasons or not. But there are numerous Bible references. There's about 50 Bible references regarding the responsibility of your sexuality or family or marriage. And it's in both the Old and the New Testament. And up until 1930, all churches were against artificial contraception. So in 1930, there was a conference of Christian churches called the Lambeth Conference. And at that time, they decided that in a marriage only, that they would allow, for grave reasons, contraception. Well, unfortunately, they opened the door a crack, and it blew wide open. And people today don't look at it as they look at it as an inconvenience, or possibly even a convenience to contracept.
I will say also that in reference to that date that Betty just made reference to in 1930, that the three major religions in the world, the Muslim religion, the Orthodox Jewish religion, and the Catholic Church, all teach that contraception is wrong. However, the majority of Jewish people, non-Orthodox Jewish people, are willing to accept contraception as a moral, secular reality in their life. The Muslim faith is predominantly 90 to 95% faithful to that particular teaching of their faith. And the average number of children that Muslim families have are 5. And unfortunately, more than 80% of Catholics contracept and don't accept the teachings of the church referable to contraception, similar to not accepting the teachings of the church referable to abortion and life, as they reflected in their vote in the last election that we just mentioned. And so, as a result, we are left with a culture of this moral relativism, this secular moral relativism, where people just pick and choose what they want to do from the cafeteria line of religion and say, well, this is not good for me. This is something that I can live with. And so this opening of the door that the Lambeth Conference did for the Anglican Church in 1930 has led us to the current time. For the next 50 years, there were debates over whether or not this was an appropriate response, and a lot of pressure was put upon the Catholic Church. And during the reign of Pope John the 23rd in the early 1960s and during Vatican II, the question was brought to the Vatican Council asking whether or not the Catholic Church would alter or reconsider their position or their teaching, which they've taught consistently for over 2,000 years, that natural family planning is the only method of family planning acceptable to the church, and that anything that involves any kind of articles of artificiality, hormones, plastic, latex, or anything else, anything that breaks down the unitive and the procreative aspects of the marital intimate act is a violation and is intrinsically evil, is the language that they use. So John the 23rd died while this council was still debating and trying to make a decision with their decision-making process relative to what the church would say. And finally, the next pope, Pope Paul VI, had to take over the council, and he released the document that Betty's going to tell you about right now that basically has been a reestablishment of church teaching for the last 40 years, and we celebrated the 40th anniversary this year at a great conference that we had over in Cherry Hill this past summer. So why don't you tell them a little bit about
that? Well, the document that Pope Paul VI wrote was called Humani Vitae, For Human Life. And in this document, the world waited for this document to come out because they really felt it was speculated that the Catholic Church was finally going to get on board with the rest of the world and allow contraception. And Pope Paul VI very courageously and very morally, through the hand of God and amazingly, said, absolutely not. Contraception is intrinsically evil. If our church, our Catholic Church, allows contraception, we are going to have more difficulties. We're going to have more divorce. We're going to have more more sexually transmitted disease, more promiscuity, more child abuse, spousal abuse. Everything that this pope predicted in 1968 in this encyclical, this 14-page encyclical, 14-miniature page encyclical, you can even go online and pull it up, everything that he predicted in 1968 has come true today. There's more sex outside of marriage. The marital covenant has been broken. The divorce rate is skyrocketed. The children born out of wedlock. Children being left. The scars of the children are really sad.
Sexually transmitted.
The sexually transmitted diseases are epidemic in today's world. Pornography, epidemic in today's world. So everything that this pope said has come true. So we consider this Humani Vitae, the Bible, to NFP teachers. And it's a prophetic work of the church. It shows us the true meaning of intercourse is fully human, total self-giving, faithful, and exclusive. It speaks of responsible parenthood. The conjugal act must reflect the capacity to human, the transmit mission of human life. The document lists unlawful birth control and lawful, it speaks about infertile periods, the consequences. It gives the whole rundown about the consequences of artificial birth control. They're clearly addressed in this document. And unfortunately, I see that a lot of Catholics are just not informed. You know, when we talk, when we go to speak at Precanus, they've heard NFP. They've heard about natural family planning, but they're not sure what it is. They don't hear it from the altar, from the pulpit. They don't get it in high school. It's just something that has been pushed aside in our societal overwhelmingness to want to rationalize the wrongs that we do and all this moral relativism. So we need to bring this back to life and to understanding for married couples. And it is amazing when we get, when we go to speak, how enlightened people are, because this is the first time that they're really hearing it and understanding the message about natural family planning and how easy and simple it is to do. But we make our lives so complicated by going to our physicians and taking medications and devices and listening to commercials on television and magazines. And it's all right here in front of us. God gave us the ability to understand our fertility, and we throw it away.
And, so, and amazingly enough, and I'm going to throw this out there, and again, we're coming to you at 215-345-1570. We'd love to get one of your calls. Anybody out there that's listening, if you have any comments either about your feelings about the outcome of the presidential election or your feelings on church teaching on natural family planning. But the amazing thing is, you know, that there's been a trend lately for everybody to go green.
Right.
And to
mm-hmm.
be natural.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that we're contributing too much to the pollution of the world. We're polluting the air, we're polluting the water, we're polluting the ground, we're polluting our bodies with chemicals and preservatives. And so you see all these organic stores opening up and all these natural baby products and all these natural clothing articles and things like that going green and getting healthier and safer methods of energy production. Well, here is the totally green family planning method. You want to go green? Go with NFP. It's safe. It's 98% to 99% effective. It has no side effects. It's easy to use. It's next to costing nothing. It can be used throughout your entire life, regardless of who you are, regardless of what's going on with your hormones, regardless of what's going on with your cycles, regardless of what's going on with your health. It requires the participation of both partners. Uh-oh, there's a big requirement. Oh, get the partner involved. He has to actually be involved.
Absolutely.
You know, we teach our classes that even though the charting has to do with signs and symptoms and signals that are all happening in the woman's biology, in the woman's body, that their spouse, I won't say their partner, I will say their spouse, because you should be spouses if you're engaging in the conjugal act, because the act is, by definition, conjugal. It is not pre-conjugal. It's not post-conjugal. It is conjugal. So both partners, both spouses get involved. It promotes love and life. And Humani Vitae stipulates that the true meaning of the marital act includes love and life, babies and bonding, and that anything that separates these two breaks the meaning of the act as designated and consecrated by God. We only have seven sacraments, and one of the sacraments is matrimony. So God must have thought, and Jesus must have thought, that matrimony was important enough that he instituted it as a sacrament, an outward sign to give grace. And the amazing thing is, and I'll bet you most of you people out there don't know it, I ought to just put it out as a question and have you call and answer the question, although I don't have anything to give away. But I would ask you the question, and you can call in and try to answer it for us and engage in some conversation. You see how desperate we are for phone calls. That who institutes or who confers the sacrament of matrimony upon the husband and the wife? And it's the only sacrament of its nature. So if you have the answer to that question, feel free to call in and give us your 2 cents. But it's a method that is always available. It helps promote fertility awareness, as Betty said. And it mandates that the couple actually have a conversation and actually have a discussion. And one of the things that we frequently play a little game with during some of the marriage prep programs that we do is we give out some blank 3x5 cards and ask the couples to jot down privately or confidentially how many children that they have discussed that they're going to have. You'd be surprised, A, at the number of people who have never had the discussion, and that B, the differences that are written down as far as the actual numbers are concerned between the two intended spouses as to how many children that they were actually planning on having, not that they actually have any input on it other than being open to life.
Well, also, too, that the men in the relationship, in the marriage, don't feel any responsibility towards their spouse, and they're totally clueless when it comes to thinking about having children. And really, and I always say this, you wouldn't go out and buy yourself a brand new SUV or a car without discussing it with your spouse.
And because, if you did, you'd be in big trouble.
Yeah, right. This is important. This is like your life. And also, do you trust your spouse enough, whether you're male or female? Do you trust your spouse? And if you love your spouse, you want to do what's best for them. This is what's best for you in a marriage. There are no chemicals. There's no side effects. It's easy. It takes a minute a day. It's just a constant awareness of what your body is telling you. It's 98 to 99% effective. How many of us are being brainwashed by the media? Are not really looking into what the true meaning of love and marriage is, and they're being led down this road to contracept. And why? They're protecting themselves. Are you going to protect yourself from your loving spouse? Why would you have to protect yourself? It sounds almost ludicrous, doesn't it?
Well, it sets up a controversial attitude between the partners because of the idea that there has to be a defensive mechanism that's involved with that particular situation, so it's not conducive to good marital communication. We have a caller this afternoon on line one, Dennis from Doylestown. Good afternoon.
Hi,
welcome to our program.
Yeah, thank you. Welcome. I'm glad to talk to you folks.
Thanks for listening. What can
we do? Wonderful program.
Thank you very much.
The couple and God.
Yes.
You got it.
All
absolutely,
right, I win.
Absolutely correct. You win a Holy Spirit radio pencil and a sticker. You can come up to the station and pick it up anytime you want.
That's right. I'll put it on my windshield.
Okay. Sounds good.
A wonderful program. You guys are always great. Is this taped so that people can listen to it afterwards?
Yes, it is, and it's on the archives. Actually, you can go back about 15 months now. We've been archiving all the programs at the website, holyspiritradio.org. Type it in, go to the website. You can pull up any of the programs, the local programs that are here all throughout the week that are from the many people that do programs during the week with the programs on Friday with Patrick and Janet and our program and Bill Miller's Voices of the Unborn, so you can pull them all up. They're all archived and they're all available free of charge.
This one today in particular, I want someone else
well,
to listen. So that's great.
There's also an encore this Sunday at 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock? Okay,
yeah.
I'll pass that on.
Always the Sunday after our program, there's an encore at 2 o'clock.
All right, well, God bless you guys.
God bless you. Take care.
You.
Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, you too.
All right,
thanks.
All right, bye-bye. And good afternoon. We have another caller. Doris is calling from Doylestown. How are you, Doris?
I'm very good, Doctor. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for joining us.
Yes. Well, I had this answer to your question.
Well, that's all right. You can give it to us anyhow.
Bride and bridegroom.
Absolutely. And it's the amazing thing is that, you know, all the other sacraments have to be conferred by either a bishop or a priest or a deacon. And this is such a special sacrament and so sacred and so holy. And when we talk to couples in the marriage prep program, we try to explain to them that this intimacy that they get to experience with each other as a husband and wife is such a special gift that it is elevated to the level of a sacrament and that they actually confer the sacrament on each other, and the priest is, or the deacon or the bishop is just, not just, but is a witness.
Yeah.
Along with the rest of the people that are invited to the wedding. So, it's just such an amazing, amazing, holiness that comes about this union. And now we have, unfortunately, a culture and a society that wants to redefine, what marriage means and come up with a new definition. And you know what? I say to them, if that's what you want to do, fine, but come up with your own word. Don't try to steal ours. Ours has been with us since Christ instituted a man and a woman coming together in the Garden of Eden. And that's the way he intended it to be. So this is our word, and it belongs to us, given to us by God. So don't try to steal it away from us. That's like trying to say, well, all these years we've been calling a tomato, but now we'd like to call it an apple. And so we want to change the name of the fruit.
Yeah.
So... But thank
I wanted to say I do encourage everybody to go to have NSP to look into it, and I've gotten names and numbers for people. I think it's a shame though that it is not presented. I don't know about Precana at Our Lady of Mount Carmel. You would know better than me, but I don't think it's offered at all. Lessons in. For natural family planning.
Well, a few years ago, Betty and I were invited to come up to give a presentation at Our Lady of Mount Carmel on two separate occasions, actually. And then we went to, I think you have a Super Bowl of Catholic Thought that runs in January,
yes.
Right around the Super
yes.
Bowl. And we've had an opportunity to show up at that, but whether or not it's actually in your marriage prep, I'm not sure, but we are available to go to any parish marriage prep. We have a speakers bureau down through the Family Life Office at the Archdiocese, and all you have to do is contact the Family Life Office, and they'd be more than happy to be able to hook you up with a speaker. And if it's not being presented, I would go after your priest and your marriage prep program and give them a buzz and tell them, hey, you know, you can have it for free. Somebody will come out and do it. If the couples that are in your marriage prep program are not willing to do it, then, you know, the Family Life Office number for those out there listening is 215-587-5639. You can look it up online under the Archdiocese of Philadelphia and just go to the Family Life Office and tell them you need a speaker for marriage prep or anything, adult faith formation. And I'm 20 minutes away from Doylestown. I'll go anywhere.
Well, also, Dars, we always say this is the best-kept secret of the Catholic Church. Nobody wants to speak about it, and it's so important to get this word out. So thank you for acknowledging this program, because you know we're here, so spread the word.
Well, thank you for taking my call, and my final comment is I really wish that our bishop would see fit to have it made mandatory, a full course for every pre-cana.
Amen. I agree.
Well, Doris, his telephone number is on the Archdiocesan website, too, so give him a call. Get people to call in, talk to your priests, talk to your bishops, and tell them, you know, we lay people, are the church. And they are sent as servants representing Christ. And we have the opportunity to be able to go out and speak to them, and they need to listen. And if there's enough noise, you know what they say about the squeaky wheel getting the oil. So
we need to be reminded of that more and more.
You got
it. Absolutely.
You got it.
Thanks for taking the call.
You're welcome. God bless, and have a great Thanksgiving.
You're welcome.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. So two great calls, acknowledging that, yes, there are people actually listening to this program on Friday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. And I'll take my comedy show on the road, and we'll be doing that sometime in the future also. But
well, this is the greatest gift to a marriage, learning NFP, understanding NFP. And I know there is a frustration to a lot of strong Catholics that this message isn't out there. And we understand that frustration. Believe me, we do, because we talk to people all the time that have no idea. But that's what our mission is. If a priest isn't comfortable with this, we understand that. That's what we're here for. We are here to compliment the priest and help them to spread this message. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us WISP Radio and WCOJ Radio, that we can spread this message, because it is starting to get out there. And most especially, it's encouraging, because the younger priests, when we go to pre-Canas, the younger priests are so on board for this. And they're the ones that are pushing it and promoting it, because it's almost like they've grown up with it, with John Paul II, our wonderful past Pope, who constantly preach the message of our human sexuality and what a gift it is, and how loving relationships should be. And unfortunately, we're fighting this battle against the secular society, and they would rather spend, what is it, $60 a month for a pack of birth control pills over something that's free. But I think our society has just slid down this path that sex outside of marriage is okay in society, and it's not okay. It's not okay with the natural law of God, and it's not okay in our hearts. We have wounded hearts for giving ourselves to people that we have no intentions of marrying. So marriage and the nuptial act is sacred. And we have to come back to that and make people realize the sacredness of marriage and the joys of marriage and the loving relationships that we can have together with each other and with our children. And, you know, a lot of people want to plan their pregnancies and they're worried about getting pregnant. If you know NFP, you know if you're fertile or not. It's so simple. And as I always say, we make it so difficult on ourselves. Women are out there totally clueless of what their fertility is. You know, it just amazes me that young women, young girls, high school girls will have acne and go to their doctor, and they'll put them on the birth control pill because it'll help clear up their acne. Well, you know, you're 15, you're on the birth control pill. So now you get to be 18 and you're graduating high school. In your mind, your parents or yourself is saying, oh, might as well stay on it if I'm going away to college. Then they graduate from college and they meet someone, and now they're 25, 27, and they've been on the birth control pill for 15 years. What have they done to their body? They never even knew if they have fertility or not. So I say, learn your fertility. Learn it in high school. Understand your body. It's God-given and it's a gift. Your fertility is an absolute gift from God. Not everybody has it. And the infertility rates in this country are skyrocketing because people are waiting longer to achieve pregnancies, or they have suppressed their bodies for so long and fooled their bodies into being fertile.
And while we're winding down to about 15 minutes left in the program, I will throw out to you another challenge as we're discussing natural family planning. You know, there have been a lot of discussion over the last many years as to how high the divorce rate is in our society. So if you call in and give us the answer to the following question, you'll get two pencils and two stickers from Holy Spirit Radio that you can come and pick up at the radio station. And that is, what's the current divorce rate in our society within, say, 3 or 4 percentage points? And what's the current divorce rate amongst users of natural family planning within 3 or 4 points? So if you know the answer to those two questions, give us a call and let us know what your thoughts are. And you can help us evangelize, and you will have done your evangelization for the day by giving out that information. But all joking aside, and again, we're at 215-345-1570, and we have about 14 minutes left, so if you want to give us a call, give us a call. The other issue that revolves around this, and Betty and I live in the real world, and we understand, as we mentioned earlier, that a significant number of Catholics as well as Christians do not accept their church or religious teaching on the interdict that is against contraception and the recommendations for natural family planning. They believe that it's something that is left to choice or left to conscience, and it's totally not. And one of the reasons that we have to come to an understanding is that there is an evil in this world. And his name is Satan. And his plan is to try to destroy as many souls as he possibly can before the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, whenever that will be, whether it's within the next 100 years or within the next 1,000 years or whenever, the Bible tells us that we do not know the time or the place, and that Jesus will come like a thief in the night. And so we always have to be prepared. And history will look back on these last 40 or 50 years, majoritively our generation, Betty and our generation, before we got to Generation X and Generation Y and now Generation O that follows the new... The Millennium Generation. Yeah. And then there's another generation after the last election. They're called Generation O.
Oh, well, that's
they
a new
follow
one for
after
me.
The new administration that's been elected.
Okay.
I can't say his name. So anyhow... we have all these generations that are going to look back in history, and they're going to see how we fell to the wiles and the lie that Satan has been telling our culture. And as a healthcare provider for women, I can tell you that it is the women who are the most damaged and the most grieved from this abuse that's going on, this abuse that Betty talked about that's written about by Pope Paul VI in Humanae Vitae. They are not only damaged as a result of the abuse that's going on with premarital sex, because women give a piece of themselves and their emotions to their partner because they think they're in love. Men don't necessarily make that connection all the time in these physical relationships that these people have. And so each time a woman engages in premarital sex and then moves on to another partner, she leaves a piece of herself behind. And she's given away a gift that she can never have back to give again. And so they're damaged in that sense. And then, of course, it comes to them, maybe, maybe not, that they were used by the previous partner because they thought they were in love and they thought that this was going to be a permanent relationship. But now the relationship no longer exists and they've moved on. And so now that relationship is done and that relationship becomes one of use and not one of caring and not one of giving. And the entire concept behind the marital relationship is one of gift, and it's supposed to be reflective of the gift that we get, the gift of life. And one of the things that we haven't talked about that is the product of this gift are the children, who are the supreme gifts and the perfect physical manifestation and physical existence of the child who comes into this world representing the love between their mother and their father. So we are in a spiritual warfare. We are in a spiritual battle. We are fighting a battle. And as I said, Betty and I live in the real world. We know what's going on out there. We know that this is an extreme uphill battle. And we know that even as our previous caller mentioned, our bishops, our priests, our cardinals, they may give lip service to supporting what the church teaches, and they certainly know what the church teaches, but we need more than lip service. We need their encouragement. We need them to back programs. We need them to fund teaching and education. We have 6 certified NFP instructors for 260-plus parishes in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. 6. And these 6 couples, one of whom is Hispanic and will speak and has interpreted the entire program into Spanish, will go anywhere to teach and evangelize and spread the word. But it's not enough. We need a couple in every parish. We need somebody to stand up at, as I said, our previous caller, Our Lady of Mount Carmel. We need a couple to stand up at St. Andrew's, and we need a couple to stand up in St. Isidore's, and we need a couple to stand up at St. Cyril of Jerusalem, and we need a couple to stand up.
You got the whole list, I hope.
We need a couple to stand up at Holy Trinity, and we have a couple at Holy Trinity, and we have 2 couples at St. Ignatius, and we have 3 couples at St. Ignatius of Antioch, and we need somebody at St. John the Evangelist and St. Francis Cabrini, and every parish and the Archdiocese needs an NFP using couple that the parish and the priest and the deacons can have resource and access to, that know what this is about and are willing to talk and spread the word. So all of you out there who use natural family planning in your private life, in your marriage, who know about it and who use it, okay, maybe you don't consider yourself teachers. Okay, maybe you don't have a lot of time because you're busy with your jobs and your family. But you need to be able to make yourself available to your parish and to your priest and your deacons, and, you know.
And you need to be a witness. And a lot of people, we know a lot of people in our parish that practice NFP, but they don't witness it. I mean, they witness it indirectly, but
the main way they witness it is through the numbers of children that they're willing to have.
Or through their loving relationships, right. their example, their children, their marriages, and their example in marriage. But we need a witness couple in every parish to start a movement to get this off the ground and let people be aware. Now, I know that, and I feel the frustration myself, there is frustration because we feel like we're being roadblocked, that the priests aren't on board or the bishops aren't on board. That's fine. But it's our responsibility as married Catholics. You know, we're all, as John Paul II said, we're all called to evangelize. We can't keep waiting for them. We're adults. We have a voice, and we should be heard. And don't be afraid to be heard. And in a loving way. You don't have to be demanding and go up to your rectory and fight about this. Just in a loving, gentle way. In God's way, in God's time, this message will get out. But I'll tell you, it is a wonderful message. But we're so bogged down with the evil that we can't hear it and we can't see it. So we have to gently bring this along. And you know, we've been doing this for about 10 years now, and we'll do this till our last breath. But our children are doing it now. They're married, and they're practicing NFP, and they're being witness couples, and they're one's being a teaching couple. It's growing, and there is more interest in this because women are being concerned about all the health risks that they're putting themselves in with hormonal contraception. And, you know, if you have a promiscuous lifestyle outside of marriage, by the time you get married, psychologically, you've lost the trust. And you have to rebuild that and relearn how to trust so that people are afraid. They're afraid of the amazing thing to me is they're afraid of pregnancy. It's going to change their life. It's going to, they, you know, it's going to hamper their job. It's going to, you know, just change everything. Well, yeah, it is. It's going to make your world rock. It's going to be the most wonderful thing that ever happened to you is to have a child. I have a friend who just said to me the other day, who happens to be in her 50s, she regrets, and it's my generation, she regrets today that she didn't have more children. And that is a big, big regret for this whole baby boomer age group. They regret it. They had one. They had two children, and they had no more. And our parents had lots of children. And what a joy. We might not think of it at the time. And, you know, the amazing thing, today I was shopping, and I saw this young woman with four little children, and they looked like they were about under the age of six. And I just couldn't resist. I went over to her, and I said, are these all your children? She said, yes. I said, well, that's a wonderful family. That's a wonderful thing. She says, oh, well, thank you. So many people think I'm crazy. She says, and I really have five children. One was in school. What a gift. What an absolute gift. So don't be afraid of little children. It's God's gift to you. And it does change your life for the greatest joy.
So as we're winding down, no one called in with the answer on the divorce, so we can either leave it hang or I can give it out.
You might as well give it out.
All right, I'll throw it out to you. The divorce rate in our current society is between 51 and 52%, depending on who you read and where you read, which means half of all marriages fail, usually within the first 7 years. So consider that. And then consider that the divorce rate amongst NFP users is 4%. And so there has to be something significantly good going on with NFP users. So I would encourage you to consider listening to Catholic radio, especially here at Holy Spirit. I would encourage you to go to the Stand Up for Life dinner this coming Sunday, November 23rd, down at the Sheraton at 17th and Race. You can go to the Pro-Life Union of Southeastern Pennsylvania. And I would encourage you to go to pnfpn.org, a website where you can get more information on Philadelphia Natural Family Planning. We'd like to give thanks to God for this gift in our life. We'd like to give thanks to God for this radio program. And we'd like to have you all give thanks on this upcoming holiday next week and enjoy family and food and friends and hope that you're all well as we're moving into the most beautiful and holy season of the year, the Incarnation. God bless and have a great weekend.
God bless.